From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, good people, it's November 15th, 2013, and it's my pleasure to welcome all of you to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Friday afternoon. Wow, TGIF, this week has certainly flown by. Time flies when you're busy, folks. And boy, oh boy, have we been busy here on Current Sports. On today's show, we'll talk MSU women's basketball as they had their home opener last night against Kinesis. We'll also get you ready for MSU football, a pivotal game tomorrow afternoon that could really set the Spartans apart from the rest of those in the Legends Division. And we can't forget about NFL pick'ems, all of that and so much more coming right at you. And we're taking your calls throughout today's entire show and taking your game predictions on any of the weekend action taking place. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. If you call in, you will automatically be entered in our Current Sports drawing for you to possibly win two tickets to MSU's final home football game against Minnesota on November 30th, I believe that game is. So give us a call, 517-355-9527. And did you check out Current Sports TV last night? I sat down with head boxing trainer over at the Crown Boxing Club in Lansing, Ali Easley. Ali is the founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, where he takes in underprivileged youth and tries to better their lives. A truly inspirational guy, to say the least. I even got a chance to hop in the boxing ring with him. If you missed it, you can go online on video.wkar.org to view that episode. And hey, if you're not by a laptop or anything, don't sweat it. You'll be able to hear my sit down with Ali in just a second. Just hold tight. And next week, I want to encourage you all out there to be a part of the live studio audience on Wednesday night as I invite Steve Fenimore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, to join me. That's right. He will be in the studio with me on that day. It's high school. High school basketball is right around the corner, folks. Can you believe that? Monday, November 18th is when things officially get started. So to be a part of next week's audience as I sit down with Steve, sign up at WKAR.org. It's always a fun time during our live tapings for Current Sports TV. Well, let's get to the show. Here are your Current Sports headliners for this November 15th. 2013. The freshman trio of Ariel Powers, Tori Janikowska, and Brandy Agee anchored a running game and full court press on Thursday night that powered the number 19 Michigan State Spartans to a just complete nasty, sick blowout. 102-54 over Kinesis in the first ever contest between the teams. Powers led the Spartans with 19 points. AG right behind her with 14. And Jankowska, she is unbelievable. I see why she was Michigan's Miss Basketball in high school last season. Unbelievable. So much confidence. She had 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. She was remarkable. You'll get to hear from those players in just a sec. And also want to note that Clarissa Bell had 9 rebounds. Now, Michigan State, they took an early lead and never trailed throughout this entire game. And folks, a lot of history was made last night. I want to note this. The Spartans are now 34-8, all-time in home openers, having won 14 of their last 15. Now, under Coach Susie Merchant, MSU is 6-1 in Breslin Center openers. Now, get this. Michigan State scored 100 points for the 12th time in program history. And for the first time, just the first time since November 12, 2011, when they played North Carolina A&T, the total ties for the 7th most points in program history. And get this, MSU scored 61 first half points, setting a record for the most scored in any half in Breslin Center history. I'm going to say that again, 61 first half points. That's in a record, folks, for the most scored in any half in Breslin Center history. men's or women's basketball. That is unbelievable. It was the most points in a half by MSU since also scoring 61 in the second half versus North Carolina A&T on that same date of November 12, 2011. Now, the Spartans made 12 three-pointers, going 12 for 23. That's 52%, tying for the third most three-pointers in a single game in program history. So, yes, it was a complete rout of Kinesis last night. Michigan State totally controlled it from the start of the game to the end of the game. You'll get to hear from Ariel Powers, Tori Jankowska, and also Susie Merchant on that win last night in just a sec. It was a beatdown, to say the least, folks. All right, some high school action. Hazlitt won a Class A regional volleyball championship over Battle Creek Lakeview in three sets on Thursday night. The Vikings advance now to a 7 p.m. state quarterfinal Tuesday at Holt, where they will face East Grand Rapids. Head coach Wendy McCann said afterwards, quote, "Our offense was phenomenal tonight. My middle hitters just hit the snot out of the ball, which was huge for us." Now, the Vikings offense was really in tune. And also want to know that libero Allison Rich added 5 aces and 16 digs, and setter Courtney Braxton, she totaled 25 assists for Hazlitt, which now improves to 53-1. So Hazlitt, again, they win the Class A regional volleyball championship over Battle Creek Lakeview. They will now advance to a 7 p.m. state quarterfinal matchup Tuesday at Holt High School. That should be interesting there. Also know that Lansing Christian, they rally from an 8-1 deficit to win the fourth set 25-21 and force a deciding set on Thursday night. But fifth-ranked Hillsdale Academy, they won that fifth set to defeat the Pilgrims 25-14, 25-27, 25-23, 21-25, and in that fifth set, 15-6 in the regional final and earn a Class D regional title. Kelsey Cox got 3 of her 14 kills on the last 3 points of the fourth set. Also want to note, folks, it's Friday night football. Regional final playoffs are alive and well. And I want to note some local teams that are still alive and will be hitting the gridiron tonight. Eden Rapids will play DeWitt. Saginaw Swan Valley will be at Lansing Sexton tonight. That's where Current Sports will be. I will be at that Saginaw Swan Valley at Lansing Sexton game. And on Saturday in Division 5, you have Grand Rapids West Catholic, at Olivet. Then you have in Division 6, Nuguani at Ithaca. And in Division 7, PW, Pomona Westphalia at Harbor Beach. So that is your high school action for tonight. Again, Current Sports will be at the Saginaw Swan Valley at Lansing Sexton game. Miguel Cabrera, another day, another award for Detroit Tiger. Miguel Cabrera, he won his second consecutive AL MVP despite battling various injuries throughout the season. Despite not winning another Triple Crown, baseball's best hitter once again won out over the Angels' Mike Trout for the game's highest individual honor. Cabrera said that, quote, "It was more special. I put up better numbers with fewer games. This year was tough with the injuries." Now, his 22 first place votes outdid Trout's 6 and his batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage, all league highs, and were all better than last season. Man, that was just a tough season for him not to win that Triple Crown. The expectations were certainly high in that regard. Now, in the NL, Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Andrew McCutchen took home the MVP award, giving the Pirates their first since Barry Bonds' 1992 campaign. So how about that? Miguel Cabrera and McCutchen, your MVPs. All right, Detroit Red Wings coach Mike Babcock is set to receive a special honor from McGill University on November 25th. An honorary degree. How about that? Babcock, who graduated from McGill in 1987, will be named Doctor of Laws honorees at the ceremony in Montreal. How about that? Babcock said afterwards, quote, "I'm very honored and humbled. When I left Stockton to go to McGill, I wasn't very interested in academia at all. I was just focused on hockey, but it changed my life forever. I'm absolutely thrilled and so pleased to have graduated from McGill and for what it gave me." So that is remarkable stuff there. So Babcock's club, they visit the Buffalo Sabres on November 24th, meaning the ceremony will likely be held during their return trip to Detroit. That is pretty cool stuff there. All right, Brandon Jennings and J.R. Smith Twitter beef. Piston guard Brandon Jennings is doubting how J.R. Smith's brother, Chris Smith, is playing in the NBA. Now, Chris has been inactive all year, and Jennings questioned over Twitter the New York Knicks' decision to sign him. Jennings deleted the tweet shortly after, but said, quote, "Wait, wait, wait. J.R. Smith's brother is in the NBA, but at Paul Jeter and at Brown LAU, I don't know who those guys are, isn't. Call me hater, but not rolling." Now, J.R. went back and forth with one tweet saying, "I didn't hear nothing when Josh Shelby," who I don't know who that is, he's a basketball player, "got in them pockets. Money on me all day, every day. Go get who you want." Gotta love Twitter beefs, I tell you, man. Now, Chris played just 20 minutes in the preseason, going 1-for-7 in that time. One NBA GM told Yahoo Sports that Chris was maybe the worst player in the history of the NBA Summer League. Oh, that's harsh words right there, folks. Jennings and JR will square off on Tuesday when the Pistons take on the New York Knicks. I'll be tuned in for that one. All right, Thursday Night Football, Donald Brown ran for 2 touchdowns. Andrew Luck added another. And the Colts rallied to beat the Tennessee Titans 30-27 on Thursday Night Football. The Colts are 7-3. They rallied, they trailed 14-0 in the first quarter and have been outscored 35-0 in the first quarter in their past 3 games. Now, Luck said afterwards, "At the end of the day, winning is what matters. We were fortunate in this game to survive our mistake and have a chance to win, but we know that's got to be fixed." Now, they have yet to lose back-to-back games under coach Chuck Pagano and are 8-0 coming off a loss. The Colts are back in charge of the AFC South as well. The Titans, who are 4-6, lost their second straight and fifth in 6 games. All right, Richie Incognito files grievance. 11 days after Richie Incognito was suspended for conduct detrimental to the club, the veteran guard has filed a non-injury grievance against the Miami Dolphins. Quote, "The grievance challenges his suspension for conduct, which was alleged to have occurred while he was with the club. In the grievance, Incognito requests that the hearing be held on an expedited basis so that he can immediately resume playing for the team. Now, the NFL Players Association will continue to protect the rights of all players." That's a direct quote from the statement. The date of appeals hearing is up to the arbitrator, who spoke on anonymity because they weren't authorized to speak publicly on the matter. So I tell you, it's a day-to-day news cycle when you talk about the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin story. Well, those are your current sports headliners for this November 15, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave a comment there. Or you can even tweet me. That's right. Shoot me a tweet at AlMartinWKAR. And it's Friday, so you know we're going to take your calls throughout this entire show and get your predictions on the weekend sporting action. Those that call in will be entered in a drawing to win a pair of two football tickets to the final home game of the MSU football season as the Spartans take on Minnesota. So pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And while you all are calling in and trying to predict scores and whatnot, again, I want to talk about that MSU home opening win for the MSU women's basketball team. Again, this is just a complete blowout, folks. 102-54 over Kinesis last night in the first ever contest between the teams. Ariel Powers was so impressive, folks, so aggressive. There was even one point, you know, because we covered it last night. I'm sitting there filming the game. Ariel Powers was so aggressive. She almost ran me over when I was just sitting on the court filming the game. I had to brace myself. She was so aggressive last night. She had 19 points. Also, to know, Brandy Agee, who was great, she added 14 points, 8 rebounds, and Tori Jankowska, the reigning Michigan Miss Basketball, she turned in an all-around performance, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. She can stroke it from deep. She can take you off the dribble for a layup. Only weakness I can look at Torrey's game is defense. I mean, and that's something that was echoed throughout this team in the post-game interviews. But, you know, and if you look at the first game of the season, MSU, of course, they played Notre Dame, nationally recognized Notre Dame, which is always a powerhouse each and every season. MSU opened their season against Notre Dame, ended up losing 81-62, a heartbreaking loss for them, a complete blowout. Becca Mills, she led the way with 15 points for the Spartans in that one. But they definitely were chomping at the bit to get back to it. And that's something I had to ask him starting off with this. You know, with that loss and blowout to Notre Dame, were you chomping at the bit to get back to action tonight against Kinesis?
Definitely. I know I was. First thing we got in the bus, I'm like, I can't wait to play Thursday. I hate being 0-1 and having that loss sitting on our shoulders. And I don't think it was because it was a loss. I think it was the way we lost and knowing how we got out-rebounded really, really badly. And I think we just wanted to redeem ourselves and take back. It was kind of like a little embarrassing how much we got out-rebounded. It was just effort. So I think that's why we were all kind of anxious to get back out here and to prove that we can defensive rebound.
So there was kind of some added incentive in that.
Yeah, definitely.
The first couple games I've been like very lax in not taking charge, I guess I would say. And after Monday's game, everything is just clicking and I'm just so ready to play another good team and focus in on being aggressive because I didn't do well Monday, and it really makes me upset, and it's embarrassing, and I don't want to feel that way ever again.
So after that Notre Dame game, they added some incentive to get out here and perform, you know, to your highest level against Kinesis.
Yes, and it will continue.
I think they're very aggressive kids. You know, I think Tori has worked so long, too, when you watch her play in high school. I mean, she's had everything. I mean, she's been triangle and two'd probably her entire career with two people on her. So having to get her shot off against one guy is refreshing. You know, she's probably excited about that. So she knows how to work without the ball. And I think that's what makes her special. And she has a complete game. Ariel doesn't surprise me either. You know, I think Ariel's growing and for her, it's about keeping that mental mindset and staying aggressive. And when she does that and finishes plays, I think she's a pretty special kid. I liked how her and Brandy were fighting over the rebounds. You know, we couldn't get one at Notre Dame, so it was kind of nice to see three and four people. I mean, I was even happy when they all went together and, you know, traveled. I was like, good, that's a good turnover. At least we're getting after it a little bit more. I mean, I thought we did a much better job of pushing the basketball. I thought we were a little more conservative against Notre Dame. You know, we watched some film and felt like, you know, we really weren't attacking with the dribble at the free throw line as much. And we were looking to pass versus take it. And then that's kind of our rule. You know, you go until somebody stops you. And I thought we were a little passive that way. But we did a nice job of inside out threes, I think, early on. And everybody kind of got involved in it. I thought our offensive rebounding, at least the aggressiveness was there. We didn't always get them, but we certainly were going a little bit better.
So there you have it. MSU, again, a huge victory last night over Kinesis. 102-54, your final of that one. I tell you what, folks, Ariel Powers, just looking at the notes that really stood out to me last night, Ariel Powers is going to be something special for this team. She's so aggressive. She's a player who has quickness, so much quickness off the dribble, can take you to the hoop and score on you. And Tori Jankowska, to be a freshman, what really impressed me, ladies and gents, last night, to be a freshman coming in, new to the team, it's like she's a veteran out there. I mean, her attitude, she was so poised, so under control, and she plays with a chip on her shoulder, folks. She is so tough. That's one of the biggest things you'll find throughout this season as the season goes on. Tori Jankowska, I mean, she acts like she's been there before. And that's something that you saw last night. Again, take it with a grain of salt. I mean, they play Kinesis. Kinesis is not a great team. But, you know, it's certainly a good win coming off the performance that they had against Notre Dame. Again, that was an 81-62 blowout on November 11 to open the season. MSU now, they move on to play Dayton on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's an afternoon game, Sunday afternoon game, 2 p.m. But yeah, and also just want to go back to these numbers. History was made full time last night, folks. MSU scoring 100 points. For just the 12th time in program history and for the first time since 2011, and they had 61 first-half points. 61 first-half points, setting a record for the most scored in any half in Breslin Center history. Unbelievable stuff there. And probably the key to last night that Kinesis really had trouble with was the four-court press. MSU went to the four-court press pretty early last night against Kinesis. And Kinesis just simply they couldn't break the press at all. And that led to a lot of turnovers and a lot of easy buckets for MSU, leading to that rout. So they're feeling good. They're feeling better than they were at the beginning of the season. But, hey, it's Notre Dame. What do you expect? So, all right, folks. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into that Ali Easley sit-down that I had with him on Current Sports TV. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show, getting your prediction on the weekend sporting action, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back at you.
Backstabbing businessmen, two-faced phonies. Talking about Wall Street? Nope, Twitter. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for the inside story of the rise of Twitter. Plus, Typhoon Haiyan was a record storm. Did climate change play a role? All on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm Joe Lindstroth, producer of Current State.
And I'm Mark Bayshore, host of Current State.
We hope you'll join us for coffee and conversation on Tuesday, November 19th at 6 p.m. at Schuller Books Chapbook Cafe in the Eastwood Town Center.
Current State wants to hear what you think we should be covering here in mid-Michigan.
That's coffee and conversation with Current State, Tuesday, November 19th at 6 p.m. at Schuller Books Chapbook Cafe in the Eastwood Town Center.
We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I remind you all, it's Friday, and we're taking your predictions this entire show. If you call in and give us a weekend score prediction, whether it be Michigan's game tomorrow or Michigan State's matchup against Nebraska, of course, you got MSU basketball tonight. On any of the weekend action, if you call in, give us a prediction, you will automatically be entered in our automatic Current Sports drawing to possibly win two tickets to MSU football, their final home game against Minnesota on November 30th. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, well, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, I sat down with one of the most inspirational local sporting figures around this area, Ali Easley. He was born in Morocco. His father was in the Air Force while his mother was a traveling nurse. He moved to Pennsylvania when he was 11 years old and started boxing at the age of 12. Ali came to Michigan to box in 1991. It was at an event where he met members of the Crown Boxing Gym. He ended up moving to Michigan in 92, where he accepted a job at Lansing Community College and joined the Crown Boxing Team. He would eventually end up at Michigan State University, where he now teaches a boxing class. He is also now the head of the Lansing nonprofit, the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Such a great foundation, which provides the area's underprivileged kids from ages 8 to 18 a safer place to better themselves and their lives. I sat down with Ali this week on Current Sports TV and started off by asking him how he first got involved with teaching the great sport of boxing.
Well, we had a program we thought about bringing to MSU. There was an existing program at Lansing Community College, which is where the Crown Boxing actually started. Crown Boxing actually started in the basement of Lansing Community College. It was founded by Bob Every. And then from there, we moved to another location where we are now. And we've been fortunate enough to partner with the Demmer Corporation, Mr. Bill Demmer, who supports the gym.
Right.
So in teaching boxing, it was kind of became an extension of what we were doing at Lansing Community College. And working here, we wanted to see what we could explore about maybe bringing boxing to MSU and maybe bringing it back to where it was when it was a very popular collegiate sport.
So, like, and we were talking before the show, I mean, not a lot of people know that MSU had a pretty prominent program here at the university, right?
For a long time, I mean, the highlight of collegiate boxing probably ran from 1940 to 1960. And the real powerhouses at the time really was Michigan State, University of Wisconsin, and Idaho State. Those were the three big, big names. And Michigan State, you know, we had a great program here. Head coach George Marcus, he was around for 20-some years. He coached the team. And he had a couple of real prominent boxers. We had a gentleman that boxed here named Chuck Davey, another gentleman named Chuck Spicer, and both of those gentlemen boxed in the 40s era under Marcus. And in fact, in 1948, both individuals represented the United States in the U.S. Olympics.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And that was really the highlight of, you know, the 40s. And then, of course, you had the 50s came along, and you had a gentleman named Tom Williams who boxed here. And not only did he box for MSU, but he also played football. He was played football, and he played in the era of when the actor James Caan was here. They were actually teammates at one time.
Right.
And then when his era sort of wound down in the late 50s and up into 1960, you know, had a couple of gentlemen. Herb Odom was boxed for MSU, and a gentleman named John Horn, both of who actually went on to Hall of Fame credentials in the sport.
Right.
And then really collegiate boxing kind of ended around 1960 at the National Collegiate Boxing Championships, which was held in Wisconsin, and an athlete from Wisconsin, a gentleman named Charlie Moore, suffered a subdermal hematoma and passed away a couple of weeks after the tournament concluded. And that sort of was the demise of collegiate boxing.
Well, his death right there, that ended it. Wow, that's tough right there. You know, and something very, one of the most inspirational parts of what you do at Crown, Ali, is the Hawk Foundation, the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. How did that come about?
Well, that foundation really came about as trying to identify with a lot of the kids that we would see transient coming through the gym here and there. And there were so many programs out there where if kids would get in trouble, you know, they were offered like diversion programs, or they were offered like big sister, big brother, or maybe if they did something out in the street, they were given anger management courses or something. And there was a lot of help like for kids like that. But the kids that we were really trying to attract, because, you know, the gym had such a strong educational background. I mean, you know, a place was founded at a community college, and there was always a history of education surrounding the program. And we really were seeing that we were dealing with kids that really weren't getting in trouble, but were sort of, you know, kind of looked down upon, maybe had low self-esteem, and maybe they became kind of a recluse. They weren't necessarily acting out in a violent way or misbehavior, but they were sort of being forgotten about and just sort of shoveled under the rug. And that was kind of the inspiration for trying to address those types of kids and help build them and their self-awareness and, you know, ultimately becoming positive members of society.
Well, it's really cool because, I mean, you actually gave me a mini tour, if you will, of your gym, and you showed me in the back where you guys, you know, provide tutors for some of the kids that are there, you know, give them clean clothes. I mean, talk about, where does your inspiration come from, Ali, for you to help kids? I mean, when did that fire ignite for you?
Well, I think really, Al, when I was younger, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and, you know, it's kind of a rough neighborhood, and there was a gym that I had gotten involved with as a young kid, and there was a lot of times at that gym the coaches were kind of mentors, they were adults, and they were sometimes people that I could look to and maybe talk to about issues that I wasn't comfortable talking to my parents about, or, you know, as a young kid you go through changes and you're not always comfortable expressing those changes to your parents. And these coaches that I knew, you know, they really reached out, and I know that I wouldn't be where I am today without their help and guidance. And then I met, you know, other people along the way that helped me, a lot of the people that were involved with Crown, the founders of Crown, and the supporters of the business. And, you know, I wanted to be able to give back and influence individuals' lives the way that they had helped me.
Wow, that's good stuff. Give it up for that, guys. That's great stuff. For you, Ali, what's the best part of teaching this great sport of boxing?
Probably watching the people develop. I mean, that's, you know, with bringing the class to MSU and trying to maybe reignite the collegiate boxing program.
Yeah.
It gives individuals that come in that really maybe have no idea what the sport entails the opportunity to work out in a real gym. You know, it's not a class that's taught like, you know, in the basement of an IM or something. You know, it's taught at a real gym and real equipment, that sort of thing. And it's really fun watching the transformation of kids that come in and really have no concept of anything. But when they leave after just a short period of time, you know, to see their growth and development, it's just amazing.
So you've seen kids just go from no clue at all about the sport to really pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had kids come in and had, you know, I had a kid come in and just didn't know anything, didn't know the names of the equipment, didn't know how to jump a rope, didn't know what a bell was.
Didn't know how to jump a rope? Really?
Oh, wow. You'd be surprised how many people have no clue.
And it's so crazy because it varies, you know, the age range that you as far as at your gym goes. I mean, what's the youngest student that you have? How old are they?
Well, the youngest kid right now is probably 6 years old. And those are really the kids I love to target, like 6 to 16, because you really get to watch them develop, not only as an athlete, but you really get to watch them develop as a person and grow into who they ultimately become. Mm-hmm. And to watch their growth in the sport is awesome. You
right.
know, they come in as a little kid, clumsy little kid, knocking water bottles over and stuff like that, you know, and then next thing you know, they become coordinated and go on, some compete and move on to other sports and whatnot.
Wow, and you talk about, you know, you said 6 years old. You know, Ali, what we've known about concussions now, I mean, recently we're starting to figure out with the whole CTE, and you look at football and what it's going through. Boxing is a sport where you're going to get hit all the time. I mean, is there a difference in the way you train and approach teaching them at, you know, being so young and that being a factor?
Yeah, I really think that the, you know, there's a real, in my opinion, a negative connotation on boxing as far as concussion and injury and stuff of that goes.
Right.
You know, you look at a sport like football, I mean, you know, they're banging their head every play. You know, the opportunity to get hit is nonstop. But really with boxing, I mean, so much training goes into, you know, running and hitting the bags and push-ups. That, you know, getting hit is really a small portion of the overall sport of training it, you know. And nowadays, you know, you have such tech advances in technology with the gloves and the padding, the formed headgear. I mean, even nowadays, mouthpieces are being made and designed by dentists to absorb shock. And, you know, there's been so many advancements in it that I really don't think that training is really any different than it was, you know, maybe 40 years ago, because I don't think the contact is there as frequently as it is in some other sports.
Gotcha, gotcha. So it's kind of blown out of proportion then.
In my opinion, it really is. And an alarming statistic that you could look at is that amateur boxing last year ranked 72 in injury list. So there were 71 sports that suffered more and sustained more injuries than the sport of boxing.
My goodness. What was number one?
I believe it was track and field.
Track and field.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just the, you know, you look at some of the other sports and they're held, you know, like football, like Pee Wee League football, you know, they just have it at the field. There's not much overseeing it by personnel. But with amateur boxing, it's one of the, in fact, it's the only sport that I know of that before the contestants are permitted to compete, it's mandated by state law that they're examined, given a physical by an MD. So they're given a physical by a physician. Then when they compete, law requires that a physician sits ringside to observe the bout. And then at the conclusion of the bout, the contestants are examined for a third and final time by the physician. And I don't think you have that observance in any other amateur sport that I'm aware of.
No, not at all. I mean, they make sure that, you know, that you're safe to a degree when you're out there competing. Ali, before we let the 12th man get at you, I want to ask you about the popularity of boxing. I mean, there was one time where, you know, you had fighters like Ali and Frazier, and you could watch them on local TV. The popularity of boxing has changed dramatically over the years, and it's kind of dwindled in a way. And many people argue that UFC, you know, mixed martial arts, is becoming the new kid on the block. Do you think that, because it's not there yet, but do you think UFC will eventually eclipse boxing in the aspect of popularity as time goes on?
Well, you know, the way it makes a pretty good argument right now, and I think that the UFC type of fighting has done well to promote itself. Mm-hmm. You know, boxing in some respects has dwindled. I mean, there used to be 3 or 4 boxing gyms on every corner and on the blocks, but it's not there anymore. And you know, part of that maybe is because, you know, at one time boxing and, you know, baseball were probably two of the biggest sports in the United States. But,
right.
You know, if you ask me, people say all the time, I can't name 3 or 4 different champions of boxing. And I say, well, I can't name the winner of the X Games. I can't right. name the winner of UFC. I don't know those people. But I think the diversity in sports in general, there's where there was maybe your core sports with boxing, football, hockey, baseball, basketball. Now you have, these X Games sports, snowboarding, snowmobile, flipping. Right. I don't know any of that. But those are just avenues that athletes get into different types of sports.
Right.
So could UFC eclipse it? I mean, their marketing has been phenomenal, and it could very well eclipse it.
Only time will tell. Well, hey, Ali, you want to stick around with me for a sec? We got the 12th man coming right at
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Stick around because the 12th man starts right now. To the 12th man, of course. I'm sitting here with Ali Easley. And on this week, on this version of the 12th man, I have a special version for you guys. We're going to hit Facebook and Twitter, and they have some pretty cool questions for you. I mean, these are people from all over asking you questions, Ali. All right. First question comes Tom from Okemos on our Facebook page. He wants to ask, every Rocky movie features a montage of unusual training, carrying a log up a mountain, chasing chickens, etc. What are the most exotic training experiences you've done or had one of your pupils do?
Wow. I don't know if I can top that. We did have a young man, Tyrone Harris, who went to compete, and he was. We had a little camp set up for him in Montana, and they had him running through the woods for like half a mile and then chopping wood. And then running through the woods and chop wood, like a kind of a rotating schedule. And
really?
Yeah, I just threw my hand. I said, okay.
So you personally have never done anything out the box with a boxer?
Nothing that I would consider that out of the box, like chasing an oiled pig or a chicken.
Right. No. Gotcha. Hey, well, thanks
we
a lot,
start.
Tom. I know, right? Exactly. Thanks a lot, Tom. All right, let's go to Twitter real quick. This is Alex from Lansing. He wants to ask, why should kids look into boxing over more traditional team sports? What lessons can be learned from boxing that other sports don't provide?
Wow, that's a great question. I think, one thing that really lends its hand to boxing that other sports may not have is the team camaraderie. And I mean that when I say you can have an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 16-year-old all doing the same thing at the gym. And it really gives the young kids maybe the opportunity to look up and really appreciate some of the older kids and have them mentor them in a sense without the older kids maybe even realizing it. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the other sports, basketball, the kids are all really the same age. Football, it's age appropriate while the kids are in school. But with boxing, the kids can train and together, and it can be a whole montage of ages.
Wow. That's a very, very valuable lesson there. And really quick, Blake from St. John's on our Facebook page wants to ask, what's the most important attribute you look for in a young aspiring boxer?
Coachability. The kids that kind of check the attitude at the door and are open to be spoken to and be able to talk to and, don't have that front. If you can communicate, you can be anything with a kid in any sport, any coach, and the kids, if they can see it, they can be it.
And you've definitely had some headaches over the years.
Tons.
How do you deal with that? Really quickly, how do you deal with a kid like that who's just not getting it?
As soon as everybody leaves the gym, I throw a pair of gloves on and...
That's the way you're doing it, right?
That's a great way to get out aggression, right? Well, if you missed that episode last night, you can view it by visiting video.wkar.org, and you can watch my sit-down with Ali Easley there, and also view past episodes of Current Sports TV. They are all posted right there for your viewing pleasure. And also, we had a cool little feature of me in the gym with Ali as he showed me a few combinations. I got to hit the punching bag a little bit, and get in the ring with him. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. So again, go to video.wkar.org and you can watch that sit down and view any episode that we've done in the past on Current Sports. Well, let's take a break and come right back. We still have NFL pick'ems to get to as well as Reflection Friday. And again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire show and getting your predictions on the weekend sporting action. Those that call in will be entered in a drawing to win a pair of two football tickets to the final home game of the MSU football season as the Spartans take on Minnesota. Pick up that phone, dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Carol Burnett, this year's recipient of the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. The award ceremony will be broadcast November 24th on PBS. Burnett was the first woman to host her own variety show, but early in her career at a talent show audition,
the MC came out and he said, "You're very good, dear, but you're too loud for TV."
Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 p.m. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, want to remind you all that we are taking your game predictions this entire show. 517-355-9527. Have a lot of weekend action going on. The Lions and Steelers, of course, they play on Sunday. You got MSU and Nebraska. They play tomorrow. Again, give us a call, 517-355-9527. If you call in, you will automatically be entered in a drawing to win tickets to the final MSU home football game against Minnesota. You don't want to miss out on that. Well, it is Friday, and you know what that means. We have NFL pick'ems for you. So many games on the tab. Of course, the game that many of you will be keying in on is the Lions and Steelers. That's right. The Lions are 6-3 and lead the NFC North. Man, I cannot believe that I am saying that right now. The Lions, they are 6-3. They are 3-2 away, and they will be on the road playing the Steelers. The Steelers have not been good. 3-6. 2-2 at home. Of course, we'll get to see Le'Veon Bell. Yes, Le'Veon Bell, former MSU running back. He will be in action this Sunday against the Lions, and definitely look forward to that. So let's get right to it. So many games, so little time, and I'm wondering right now, I don't know if we have an update at all on how the picks are going, but I tell you what, I'm tired of losing. I've lost the last 2 months, and you know, as custom here on the show, whoever loses in pick'ems has to rock the mic and sing an embarrassing song. We have to do a rap battle, I believe, this month. We have yet to do that, Alex, but man, that's frustrating, man. We didn't even know what song. We get to choose the beat at least?
Well, Aaron, our in-house engineer, is actually still in the beat laboratory. He's going to come back with something that's going to be really
special. He's cooking up some
really
stuff.
Special. Oh, yeah.
DJ AA Ron.
He never quits.
He's
always working.
I'm sure he is. So what do we got, Matt? Let's run him down real quick. What are the standings? Do we know the standings right now?
We do. Freshest standings.
Oh, boy. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yours truly in first with 13.
Oh, gosh. Matt is just...
Al, you are in second with 9.
Okay.
Alex, you are right behind Al with 8 points.
This is bad. Alex, what is wrong with us?
It's a tight race.
You've got 4 points on us right now, man. And you know, I'm going to spice it up today because we're going to pick tonight's division game, well, regional championship games in high school football. So I'm going to spice it up a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm pulling that trigger, all right? But let's go ahead. Let's go ahead with the NFL games. What we got, Matt?
All righty. Well, we missed the Thursday night game.
We missed that? We
missed the Colts-Titans game last night.
Okay.
We're all right. We'll get past it.
I'm pretty sure we all would have chose the Colts anyway.
I definitely would have. I'm assuming Alex would have as well. Let's go Jets at the Bills.
Give me the... I'm going with the Jets. Give me New York in that one.
Alex, you've ridden the Jets all year to great success.
The comments will come that I will pick the Jets again, but I'm going to pick the Bills.
Going to pick the Bills.
Going against the Bills. Okay. Bills are home. They're 3-7.
Bills are home. I'm not sure who is playing quarterback for that team.
Yeah,
it's the Jets, though.
If it's Jeff Toole,
it's the Jets, though.
I'm actually taking the Jets, too.
I'm going with the Jets as well. You know,
this is a bizarro week. If Alex is not taking the Jets, and we're taking
last place, I gotta make some.
I think
calls
that's the wrong. I don't know if that's the right move. All right, go ahead, Alex.
All
go
right,
ahead. Well,
just
please
like,
do.
Just like some of your picks, Al. We don't even need to get into it.
He's calling me out here.
Let's jump back to the hometown game. We got Lions at Steelers.
I'm going Lions. Steelers.
Now, do you guys want to do the score for this as well?
Yeah, we'll do score. I'm going Lions, 24-14.
I'll say Lions 31-21.
It's a good one. I'm going to say Lions 31 as well. 31-17. Okay, so we all take the Lions there. Let's move on to the Falcons at the Bucks.
Go ahead, Alex.
Another QB situation over there. I'll take the Falcons.
Falcons are 0-4 away. Give me the Bucks.
Taking the Bucks. They're gonna have what, a 2-game winning streak?
Yeah, if they win, if they tap. Wow. Yeah, and they're home.
I'm going with the Bucks. I'm gonna take the Falcons. Oh gosh, these two teams are both awful.
They're both awful.
Not good.
Falcons still, like I said, the biggest thing, the Falcons play so bad on the road. Bad period. They play so bad on the road, though.
Give me Tampa Bay.
Don't let them convince you.
Give me Tampa. Just saying. It's too late. All right, don't convince me. Tampa Bay.
0-4, man.
All right. Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles, the Nick Foles show.
Yeah, you know
Nick
what?
Nick Foles.
Man, do I want to ride this Nick Foles ship?
I'm riding Nick Foles.
You're riding the
Absolutely.
Nick Foles ship.
Yeah.
You take Philly?
I'll take Foles.
Philly's at home, right?
Philly is at
home. They have not won at home yet.
It's a revival. It's a renaissance.
Wait, man, you pick on that one first.
I'm taking Philadelphia as well. As long as Matt Barkley doesn't play, Washington, I don't even know why they put 11 guys on the field for defense because they're not stopping anybody anyway. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Their defense is horrid. Oh, man. Give me Philly.
All three of us. Okay. Yeah, I'll take Philly. Arizona Cardinals at the now no longer winless Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville
Shocker.
Yeah. I'm going to go with give me the Cardinals.
I'll go with the Cardinals, too.
Yeah. That's an easy pick. Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville won because there were 8 fumbles in the game versus Tennessee.
There were so many turnovers, yeah.
8 fumbles in the game, and Jacksonville recovered 6 of them.
Right.
That doesn't happen often. All right, moving on. Oakland Raiders at the Houston Texans. Case Keenum versus Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor, yeah.
If he's healthy.
Yep. I'm going to go with give me Pryor in that one. Raiders, again, they haven't won on the road yet, and they're facing Tech, of course.
Yeah,
the Texans are at home.
Here's the team. I'm gonna pick the Texans. I think Keenum loved him in college. I think he'll do fine.
Yep, I'm gonna take the Houston Texans as well.
Pryor, I need you.
I don't trust the Raiders.
Yeah.
Ever really. All right. Yeah. Baltimore at Chicago.
I think the Bears bounce back this week. Give me the Bears.
Alex? I'll take the Bears too.
Taking the Bears
at home.
I don't know what to make of either of these teams.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if Cutler's going to be significantly healthier than last week, but who cares? I'm going to take the Bears, too.
Yeah.
The Battle of Ohio. Cleveland at Cincinnati. This is a good game. This might be the best game of the day.
I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Bengals. Give
Taking
me the Bengals.
Cincy?
See, for me, home doesn't matter in this game.
Not at all.
So I'm going with Cleveland.
Ohio.
I'm going with Cleveland.
I'm going with the Bengals, though.
I'm
going
to go with Cleveland as well. I think they're healthier.
Yeah.
I think Jason Campbell's all right. And, I mean, Cincinnati.
I think
guys
AJ
are dropping
Green's
like,
going to go crazy.
Guys are dropping flies. Like flies.
They are very
Cleveland has Joe
right
Hayden.
Now.
And Joe Hayden
they
can
do,
at least slow down A.J. Green.
A.J. is –
He's really great. Good. I mean, he's
– I call him the other cheat code. Other than Cal, AJ's so good, man.
He is.
Yeah, give me the Bengals.
It's ridiculous. All right, so you're taking the Bengals. We're both taking the Browns.
Yep.
San Diego at Miami.
I'm very reluctant to go with Tannehill after the beginning of the season, but I'm going to go with Tannehill.
Ooh. Taking Miami.
That's, ooh. Give me the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chargers as well. Not because I have anything against Ryan Tannehill, just because they're a mess.
They are. The Dolphins aren't good at all.
They're pulled together at home.
They're a mess. They just lost to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a mess.
The Dolphins are bad.
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable picking them for the rest of the season.
No.
I feel like.
No.
We'll see. Maybe they'll bounce back and become the story.
Possibly.
But,
we'll see. But
not a great story either way. All right. Green Bay at New York Giants.
I'll go with Green Bay.
You going with Green Bay? Give me Green Bay as well. Is Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers
is not playing. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I'm still going with the Giants. The Giants are so bad. We know the Giants are bad as well.
They're bad, but
Green Bay's defense.
But they're not
is terrible.
Dead yet.
They're dead, man.
They're not
stick
dead yet.
A fork in the Giants. They are
no,
done.
You can't discredit the Giants.
Give me the
they're
Giants.
Done.
They're not done until they're done, and they're not done yet.
Going with the Packers.
Minnesota at Seattle. Percy Harvin might be returning.
Oh wow!
To face his old
squad. Not gonna matter. Not gonna matter. Seahawks.
Seahawks are too good, man.
That makes three of us because there's no way the Vikings are winning that game on the road.
No.
49ers at the Saints.
Good game.
Saints. Good game. Saints.
You want the Saints? I'll take the Saints.
I don't trust the
what
49ers.
What disappointment, the 49ers, huh?
They have been a huge disappointment. They're 6-3, 3-1 away.
Who's the biggest disappointment this year?
Kaepernick.
Atlanta, Houston, or San Francisco?
I would say San Francisco.
I think San Francisco, yeah.
All the hype about Colin Kaepernick, you know, that miraculous season that he had last year, and he comes out here and he just doesn't look.
I feel like every other week he finishes with 88 yards passing.
I know, right?
And then it's cry myself to sleep because I started him in fantasy.
Exactly. I start him every single – I don't know why I keep doing it, man. I'm thinking about cutting the guy. I'm serious.
It's terrible. Okay, but Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
This is actually probably the game of the day. Kansas City at Denver. For the first of two meetings down the stretch.
This should be a very good game. You got Broncos are 8-1. Chiefs have not lost at all. The Chiefs are so, so good. You got Peyton Manning, though, is so, so good as well. Man, I think the Broncos hand the Chiefs their first loss.
I agree. I think they're going to hand them their first two.
Yeah, I think the Broncos have this one in the bag.
Yeah, I got
it. It won't be easy.
I got to agree. I think their defense is better than Kansas City's offense as far as the weakness versus weakness goes. So I'm going to take Denver at home. Monday Night Football, Patriots at the Panthers.
Oh, man. You know, it's not a bad game.
It's not at all
a terrible game for Monday. You know, we've always harped these past few weeks about Thursday Night Football and Monday Night Football just being absolutely terrible. But I'm going with the Pats, though. Give me the Pats.
I'll take the Pats, too.
You guys. I'm taking Carolina.
You're taking Carolina, really?
Absolutely.
They're home.
Give me Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
I think the Panthers are a better team than the Patriots.
That's arguable.
To be perfectly honest.
It's arguable. Tom Brady on Monday night, he performs in prime time. I'm going with Tom Brady in that one. So, overall, we have some variances of picks this week.
This is the first time in a while that there's
some disagreements.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Plays can be made this week.
Separate the men from the boys
in the standings here.
You know? So, all right, guys. Well, there's NFL picks for this weekend. Of course, MSU, they play Nebraska. Do we have we made a pick on that already,
right? We did. Al, you took MSU 21-13. Alex, you said MSU's going to win 17-10. And I pretty much split the difference and said 21-9 Spartans.
Guys, I want to ask you, what do you think the storyline is going to be on Sunday morning when we look at when all is said and done against MSU and Nebraska? What's going to be the storyline?
Just how dominant the Spartan Dogs are. I think they're going to have another solid game. I don't see Nebraska, you know, putting up a bunch of points in this game. I think Connor Cook will give them just enough. I think they just keep rolling, and they're you know, one step closer to wrapping up the Legends division.
The headline will be Michigan State versus Ohio State. Everyone will start looking away to this Ohio State game. They'll be looking away to see if Country himself can contain the Ohio State offense. And I don't think, although Minnesota is putting out quite a scare, what are they, 27 now in the polls? I don't think it's going to matter. I think people will look away to Ohio State. Minnesota will creep in and will put a scare. I could definitely
I feel the same way. I feel the same way. MSU, I mean, They're rolling right now. They can win out, to be honest with you. I want to ask you guys, though, about Michigan. They have Northwestern. Do they get back on track tomorrow?
Man,
that's the big question.
Who knows?
That's so tough because,
both teams.
Yeah, they're both, yeah, really, really struggling. But I tell you what, looking at Michigan, I mean, the way they've looked, negative yardage, you know, back-to-back weeks, I mean, that's unbelievable. I do think they pull out this win, though, against Northwestern. I will say that.
You know, I don't know how confident I would be in that. I mean, back-to-back weeks of negative rushing yards, back-to-back weeks of 7 sacks.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that, you know, matters there is that Northwestern is the only team in the Big Ten that's worse at protecting the quarterback than Michigan is.
Yeah, they're bad.
I mean, they're 1-3, 1-2 if you don't count Purdue, which pretty much any team stat, you can kind of just throw Purdue out because they're awful in just about every facet.
Right.
They're the worst two teams at protecting the quarterback. I think that's part of the reason that Nebraska is getting such big pub as their defense has improved is because they've played two teams that have nothing on the offensive line.
Yeah. Nebraska's bad. Michigan's not that bad. They're not Nebraska bad. Nebraska right now, what are they riding? What, a 5-game losing streak, I think it is?
Northwestern.
Northwestern. Northwestern is
usually. But, I mean, they also had, you know, the Hail Mary to Nebraska.
Right. Exactly.
They've found ways to lose games. This is the first time ever that they're favored against Michigan.
Yeah.
And they're 0-5 in the Big Ten.
I just can't fathom. I don't know. Something in me. I just can't fathom the next day we're saying Michigan has lost three straight now. I don't know. I don't know.
If Michigan does lose,
yeah.
Do you think the heat turns up on
Brady
Hoke?
Without a doubt.
Not just that, but
without a doubt.
In the recruiting world, Deshaun Hand, the number one player in the nation,
so glad he brought it up.
Yeah.
Was supposed to commit to Michigan. Many thought he was a Michigan lock.
Right.
Switches to Alabama, cites the academic reason, which to me is ironic considering Michigan academic.
He saw that chicken in armor. That's what that was.
You know, we're not going to make any assumptions here.
I'm making assumptions.
Now there's chatter even Jabril Peppers, the number two player in the nation, maybe even switching ways. So
is there chatter?
There is some chatter.
Not, hear that for
it's
him.
Not relevant. It's according to Inside the Fort on Rivals. So we will see.
Mr. Rivals, man.
We will see.
He's our insider.
If anything really happens with that, but it's not looking good for Brady Hoke right now.
Not at all. And if they do lose this game in Northwestern, Brady Hoke he's got a huge target on his back, and I don't know if we'll see him next season, to be honest with you. This is a huge game for him. And I got, you know, when you look at it and you talk about, you know, Deshaun Hand and his decision to leave. Now, I think that had a lot to do with, I mean, looking at Michigan's last, you know, they lose to Michigan State, then they lose, you know, this past weekend. I mean, you know, he saw the cheek in the arm. And like I said, I hate recruiting so much, Alex, because you never know what's going through these young kids' head.
Right.
I mean, and then that happens. But I don't know, man. Michigan's not in a good position. This is a huge, huge week for them. And, you know, the pressure is on. Without a doubt. So Michigan, of course, they play Northwestern at 3:30 p.m. And MSU and Nebraska, man, it should be MSU. I think they're going to pull it out. I can't wait for that one either, man. That's 3:30 on ABC. So there you have that. All right, 5 minutes, guys. What a week. I can't believe it's already Friday. So much happened this week in sports.
Ollie Easley was hot, man. That was a hot segment.
Yeah. He was a great guest. And get in the gym. His gym, you guys got to take a visit to his gym. His gym is really, really nice. I mean, you got two boxing rings in there. You got punching bags everywhere. You got, man, what do you call that? You know, when you're I don't even know what the thing is called. But, you know, when you hit it and it comes back to you, I sound so terrible right now. But it's great. I mean, the gym is beautiful there. And Ollie does, you know, what really hit me throughout that entire segment was taking it when I took a visit there. Was when he took me in the back and he was giving me a tour of the gym. And he had tables set up for students from the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, for those who are really struggling academically, for those to get tutors. He had tables set up in the back for them. He had a washer and dryer for kids who just can't, you know, who can't afford to buy soap. You know what I mean? Who can't even afford the necessities of life. He has all that there for those kids. He washes their clothes for them. There's a dorm inside in the very back of the gym where kids who don't have anywhere to lay their head at night, you know, to come in that gym and to do so right there at the gym. That's inspirational stuff. Hats off to Ali, one of the most inspirational guys and figures I've ever come in contact with. He's a good guy. So that really hit me. And he really hit me literally too in the ring, which we didn't get on camera. But you can catch that. You can catch my sit down with him if you go to video.wker.org. What's your favorite moment of the week, though? Biggest stories of the week for you guys?
Oh man, I think it might have had to have been that Ollie Easley interview. And you know, you going to the gym. We were just watching it in the back room. Great stuff. The helmet cam.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
And you know,
the GoPro.
Like you were saying, he goes beyond just being a teacher.
Right.
He's almost like a part den mother. Like, you know, he's taking care of kids. He doesn't have to do any of this.
No.
He goes above and beyond, you know, the call. And he's helping these kids who need it. And he's, you know, making a positive influence in their lives. He seems like a great ambassador for the community. Two thumbs up to Ollie Easley. That guy gets it done, for sure.
For me, it's got to be women's field hockey, man. Big Ten championship.
Yeah, that was surprising. Ollie
Ahern
right?
scoring two goals the following game. I mean, this team, I mean... Yeah. Looking at all the sports in MSU, we don't even know even that last year that soccer was that good. And there are so many other sports that are associated with MSU that don't really get the shining light because in terms of the student population, it's football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey, maybe. But it's amazing how broad athletics are with their performance.
And their success.
Yeah, MSU sports right now are doing one heck of a job right now. Yeah, definitely hats off to the Lansing field hockey team. I mean, the MSU field hockey team. They are unbelievable, man. And, you know, we wish them well as the season moves on for them. But, yeah, Ollie Easley, hats off to you. Thanks a lot again. Next week, I will be sitting down with Steve Finnemore, the head boys basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. You do not want to miss that. If you want to be a part of the live studio audience, sign up at WKAR.org for that one. Steve is a funny guy, I tell you that. And the high school basketball season starts off on Monday, guys. I can't believe that. That high school football season just flew by. Unbelievable. But I'll be at the Sexton game tonight. You can catch all of that footage on Current Sports TV next week. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. And a special thanks to Ali Easley once again. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. And as always, be easy, people.